Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
This game definitely took a turn, but it does end in a 4-1 loss. Just another example of what not playing a full 60 minutes will get you, but more progression on the power play, more good looks from Connor Bedard, but unfortunately another road loss. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight here on WGN Radio. But first, we're going to head on over to the Capital One Arena and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. And I mean, Troy, we talked to you after the first. We talked to you after the second. There was continued growth from the Hawks team tonight. It just getting off to such a rough start of a 3-0 deficit made it really difficult for them to dig themselves out of the hole. But, I mean, good on them for sticking to the plan of trying to make things happen in the third period. They got close a couple times, but just couldn't find the back of the net.
If you look at where this game was decided, it was in the first period. Some smart play by the Capitals. When you're in your own end defending, you want to defend the middle of the ice. And the Blackhawks on the first goal by Washington got caught on the outside. So when Carlson took a pass that went from the goal line out to the blue line, he was able to just turn around, take a step into the middle of the ice area, and then get a shot in on goal. There was nobody between him and the net. It's an easy shot, but there's traffic in front of the net. Redirected, nothing that Mrazek could do there. And so that was just a well-orchestrated play by Washington. But structurally, they got to be in the middle of the ice, force that play by Carlson down the boards, at least make him carry the puck down the boards by being in that shooting lane. But nothing was there. Second shot, another opportunity. Van Riemsdyk at the left point goes down, gets around his check. So now he's uncontested. There's all kinds of traffic in front of the net. It's not a hard shot. You're not looking to score unless it goes through the traffic and beats Mrazek. But with all the traffic in front of the net, two defensemen, two forwards, Washington was able to find that puck and bang it past Mrazek. So two plays very similar, just simple shots from the point that went in, and then you took too many penalties. And when you do that in the first period, it really kind of takes you out of the flow. It takes you out of the rhythm. The third time was the charm for the Washington Capitals, scoring on that power play. Now you're 3-0, and whether you outshoot them or not, Washington knows what the score is, so they're being a little bit more cautious, and they weren't forcing the issue. So you kind of expect the team that's from behind to get more shots, because they're the team that's pushing, not able to find the goals that they were hoping after that first period. Like you say, Joe, they didn't quit. They worked hard, and that's a good sign. But they have to be prepared to play a 60-minute game. They have to be prepared to battle better and have more structure in the first period in a game than they did in the first period.
Speaking of guys not scoring, Connor Bedard did just about everything but find the score sheet. I mean, off the post, off the crossbar, off of Lindgren, robbed by Lindgren, and some just really dazzling moves, puck handling. I don't love him punching the boards, though, you know, getting back on the bench. I know we've talked about this before. His frustration stems from emotion for the game and competitiveness to be the best. But, I mean, it's clearly bugging him right now, not finding the back of the net.
I think it's eight games now without a goal for Bedard, and he's getting frustrated. He's had some really good looks over that span, and tonight they had, 15 shots on goal. Bedard did. Four, as I was talking about, as the player of the game, four ended up on net. He had five that were blocked, and then six that missed the net. So anytime that you hit the post, that's considered a missed shot. It doesn't count as a shot. And I think that he hit three posts in this game. So there's the frustration. He works on his shot all the time. He knows where he wants to shoot it. He's just a tad off right now. And when he finds the range, he's going to start lighting it up. But he was good. It's so impressive the way that, and I was describing it in the third period there, where he's got the puck and he'll pull it in as a right-handed shooter. He pulls it into his body and he can release it from way out or at any time as he pulls it in there. And the defenders, they know that. So now they're going down to block the shot. But when he's pulling into the body, what he did there several times was just continue to pull it across his body and onto the other side to his backhand, a little bit of a toe drag, and everybody's going down to block it because they know if they don't block it, he can shoot it. So really good playmaking there by Bedard in the offensive zone, making the Capitals defenders look pretty silly.
Yeah, it's almost like he's got a string on the puck and he's able to just do whatever he wants with it. And the cool thing is, Troy, is, you know, that gives him the ability to either shoot or pass, and he always seems to make the right decision between the two. It's almost always never a wrong move by him.
He sees the ice so much better than just the normal person, and it's not something you can describe. He just reads the play. He looks and he understands in his mind where everybody is. And whether he's got his back to the play, he already knows where everybody is. He's already seen in his mind where everybody is. Now he goes and gets the puck, and automatically he makes plays that other people don't make. Other people go to the puck, try and figure it out, and then look what's open. Bedard knows what's open before there, and he knows how to get open in the offensive zone. And when you look at the great players, the great scorers in the history of the game, they find a way to get lost in the offensive zone. And by that I mean, you're always focusing on a Brett Hull back in my day. But how in the world he got so wide open so many times for his shot is incredible, because everybody's focused on it. And the same thing with Bedard in there. He just knows how to drift away from plays, put himself in a position where he can accept the play, he can accept the pass, he can find an open area where he can shoot it. And sometimes I think, and Luke Richardson was talking about it, he sometimes tries to get a little bit too close, and then he tries to make a little bit of a move there. He's got that opportunity, and he's got the range from far out to take that shot, especially if there's any traffic in front of the net. And these goaltenders, boy, they have a hard time figuring out where the shot is coming from. And if you talk to Jimmy Waite, the goaltender coach for the Blackhawks, he'll talk about how hard it is when a guy like an Austin Matthews, who pulls the puck like Bedard does and then releases it at any point. You don't know where it's coming from. And you can change it by about 3-4 feet by holding it way out, pulling it into your body. And that is so hard for a goaltender to make the adjustment, to find his angles, to not lose his post. And that's what you see from Connor Bedard.
Huh. Wow. Great stuff, pal. Let's see if the Hawks can carry over the power play momentum, the Connor Bedard puck handling momentum, and use it for good in tomorrow's quick turnaround game against the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, they know that if they play the right way against Arizona, they can have success. You don't want to take that lightly and say, okay, you know, we had five, which was tied at seed and high in Arizona. You have to play the right way to have those opportunities, and then you got to bury them. When you have chances around the front of the net, you saw Washington early on be a little bit determined, more so than the Blackhawks were. And then you look at the simplicity of the goal for the Blackhawks, like the Washington Capitals. Shooting lane was there. Traffic was heading towards the front of the net. Tenorti throws one in there. Tyler Johnson, a little bit of a redirect, and that's how you score a goal. So be prepared to pay the price tomorrow for 60 minutes.
All right, pal. Great stuff. Safe travels. We'll see you tomorrow.
I look forward to it.
All right, me too. That's Troy Murray. He and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Hawks fall to the Washington Capitals 4-1 out in our nation's capital. And the Hawks now drop to 16-43-5 on the season. Washington improves to 30-23-9 as they continue to make a playoff push. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to join us, you can call or you could text. I do want to talk a bit about Bedard for right now, because this really was kind of one of his best games, and he doesn't even find himself on the score sheet. He ends up becoming a minus one tonight. He was second on the team, third on the team in time on ice with 21 minutes and 19 seconds, only behind Filip Kurashev. Wow. And Seth Jones, who led the team once again. As Troy mentioned, 15 shot attempts for Connor Bedard, 4 on goal, 5 blocked, 6 missed shots, a few off the iron, as it looked like the Hawks were going to pick up at least a goal or two in the third period. And Troy's right. I mean, this game was kind of decided in the first period because the Hawks didn't get off to a great start. They found themselves in the penalty box too much. They made too many mistakes, and Washington's a very good team. They're going to take advantage of it. And yeah, there is the factor that Washington can pull back their game a little bit in the third period when they're up by 4 or 3 goals. But you do have to still give credit to the Hawks for taking advantage of that situation. Bedard's puck handling skills just continue to improve with confidence. His decision making continues to improve with confidence. But I don't love him punching the boards, and I know a lot of people are in agreement, and I understand he's a kid, he's 18 years old. I will say this, out of everything we talk about Connor Bedard, that's probably the only thing we point our finger at. I mean, everything he says in the dressing room to the media always seems to be the right thing. Everything he does on the ice, even if he makes a mistake, it's pretty much always a one-time thing. But the frustration he shows after not scoring, I don't want to call it immature. I don't, because I feel like this is the first time he's going through something like this. Troy mentioned it's now been 8 straight games without a goal. Granted, he's picked up 4 assists during that stretch over his last 8 games. And you can't really call or use the argument about him coming back from injury, because he picked up 2 goals in his first 2 games since coming back from injury. But this is got to be the first time, and I this is a total shot in the dark, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first time he's gone 8 straight games without a goal. I don't know if we can look up all that information. I know Hockey Cube and Hockey DB have pretty in-depth numbers on that kind of stuff, but I feel like there's no way that that was a situation with Regina, because of all the numbers and records he was breaking over there. I mean, you might have to go back to even further in his youth days, maybe 13, 14 years old, to find 8 straight games without a goal. It's the longest stretch this year, and, you know, obviously I'm not counting the injury where he sat out for as many games as he did. But that frustration is clearly brewing. Now, this wasn't frustration showed like the Colorado game, where it seemed like the Avalanche really got under his skin, and they were like kind of really limiting his chances. And I think that's probably a different frustration than, man, I am shooting at the net, getting all these great looks so many times, and just still not finding the back of the net. I mean, we've all been through there. We've all been through that, not at the NHL level, not even maybe in a competitive level, or I should say in a sporting level. But in a competitive spirit, how many times have you tried something over and over again and it just hasn't worked, and you just get frustrated, and then your emotions take over? Well, this is the first time he's dealing with this at the NHL level, when he's clearly capable of finding the back of the net, of finishing off those plays, but it's just not happening right now, or at least not in this game. I mean, his 2 assists in the last game against Arizona, I thought were brilliant primary assists, brilliant passes, and I stand by what I was saying earlier with Troy. He just always seems to make the right decision because of his awareness, because of how he's reading the ice. And I mean, when you complement that with his offensive skill set, that's why he's been dubbed a generational talent. And I want to give credit to Philip Kurashev, too. On one of those power plays, I think you saw an example of exactly what Luke Richardson has been pleased about the power play as of late. Power plays looked good over the last 3 games. Now, of course, the Hawks haven't scored any power play goals in 2 out of those 3 games, but they had 4 against the Arizona Coyotes in their last win. But Luke said that one of the things he's seen improvement with from the Hawks on the man advantage is, and I know how often do we talk about just shooting the puck, shoot first mentality, throw it to the net, see what happens. But it does make sense on the power play to maybe just pass the puck if you don't have the best look. And I know we've been down the road of, oh, get too cute on the power play, make too many passes. But there was a situation in, I think it was their last power play in the game, and Philip Kurashev, I think, has been finding a lot of good rhythm on the power play as well. Just always finding an open slot, always making himself available, ready to load up for a one-timer. That's why he was able to score against Arizona in the last win. But the same kind of situation. He was making himself available. He had his stick loaded up. And then all of a sudden the rebound kind of comes up towards the crease. And Kurashev leaves from the near circle to go after that rebound. And he's kind of falling forward. He's not in the best stance, in the best spot to really fire off a quality shot. So he just taps it up to Seth Jones. Small sample size, small example, but I think that's what Luke had been preaching earlier before the game. We actually didn't even play that sound. It was just something I heard in the pregame scrum before today's game. But you are seeing improvement in that regard, at least in these last three games. And hopefully they can carry that momentum from this third period, from the special teams effort, and use that tomorrow against Arizona at the United Center. We've got more to get to. Looks like sound is coming in already. The Hawks are, they got a boogie because they got to get right on the plane and get back home because, again, it's a 5 o'clock puck drop tomorrow at the UC against the Arizona Coyotes. But we will get sound from the Blackhawks dressing room and recap this one a little bit more. 312-981-7200. We'll also take your calls and texts next here on the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Ovechkin knocked them out cold.
Yeah. That was a shot from Tenardi from the left point. He scores! Jared Tenardi looked like he was just tossing that in front of the Capitol net, hoping that somebody could get a tip on it, and it looks like maybe somebody did. Tyler Johnson is going to lead the parade to the bench with the fist bumps. So the Hawks are on the board, trailing 4-1, and it looks like it's going to stand as Tyler Johnson's goal.
Unfortunately, that was the only goal for the Hawks tonight. A 4-1 loss to the Washington Capitals as the Hawks wrap up their season series against Washington. Washington sweeping it, outscoring the Hawks 8-3. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. You can give us a call, give us a text, 312-981-7200. You could be the next person texting after somebody chimed in from the 708 area code. After tonight's game, the Hawks will have officially been eliminated from the playoffs. Is that what Kyle expected in their rebuild season? Honestly, maybe. I mean, that's kind of what happens in a rebuild. You don't really expect the roster to be Stanley Cup playoff worthy right away, and this is year two of the rebuild, so possibly. But yeah, I don't think the general manager is going to be willing to say, yeah, we were hoping to be eliminated with 18 games left in the regular season. Either way, Tyler Johnson's our player with the most heart tonight, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. Let's hear from the Blackhawks' only goal scorer tonight.
I mean, yeah, when you spot a team three goals, though, you know, you could say maybe they let up a little bit or whatnot, but we just had some careless, dumb mistakes in that first period that, well, even in the second on that other goal, that just really bites in the ass. You know, we just got to really take care of the puck, take care of our turnovers, take care of playing defense first, and, you know, doing that for a full 60.
And what happened on that line change on that fourth goal there?
I don't know. It was kind of a messed up play. I mean, we got to get the pucks deep, and then I don't know why we were changing there. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of things went wrong.
It seemed like the power play, even though you didn't score, had a lot of movement and good looks.
Yeah, I mean, even that, I think it was the first period we had a PP, and I thought we had a pretty good chance at the end there. And that's what you need out of a power play. You might not score every single time, but you got to build momentum for the team. And, I think as a unit, we've gotten better as the season's progressed, and the last little bit has been a lot better. So we just got to continue to do that. I think what Bedsy hit the post a couple times there, a couple of missed rebounds, that kind of stuff. That, you know, if those go in, maybe it changes the course of the game. So we just got to keep plugging away and keep going.
He had 15 shot attempts today. Is that what you guys want from him, just to keep firing away?
Well, he has a pretty good shot. So, I mean, if he's shooting the puck, that's a good thing. But, you know, we got to do a better job trying to get some net front presence and creating some more rebounds and more opportunities from that. But, yeah, we like when he shoots the puck, for sure.
For you to still be here past the deadline, are you feeling a little relief?
Well, I think it's relief knowing now where I'm at, right? It's always a little tough when the uncertainty of everything. And, you know, I'm happy to be here, though. I love our team. I love our guys. And, you know, I'm here to battle and work for the remainder of the season.
Did the goal get a piece of your stick on that, or did it go off your body?
What's that?
Your goal?
It hit me right in the elbow. Yeah. I thought it was going to hit me in the head, but luckily I got out of the way a little bit.
A little chicken wing on it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just one of those things, though, that those are how goals get scored a lot of times. It's just puck at the net, and it hits something and goes in. So it's nice that we were able to get one.
13th goal of the season for Tyler Johnson. It came with 10-11 left in the game and ended Charlie Lindgren's second consecutive shutout. The Washington Capitals are playing pretty well right now. Granted, a win against the Hawks, say what you will about that, considering where the Hawks are in the standings, and they're also coming back from a shutout victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh's skidding, but still a good team, but Washington just kind of fighting for their playoff lives right now, and you definitely saw that with the start that they had in this one. Again, jumping out to a 3-0 lead. Goals by Hendricks, LaPierre, Michael Scarbosa, and Tom Wilson on the power play goal. And again, it's just Hawks really dug themselves into a rough hole. They, I think, committed 3 penalties in the first period, and just you can't give that many opportunities to a team that's on paper more talented than you in the Washington Capitals. Now, granted, I do like the Hawks' pushback, and even in that first period, as rough as it was, the Hawks had some decent opportunities, some decent looks. They actually matched Washington with 12 shots on goal, and then they did the same in the second period where they matched them with 8 shots on goal. Kind of a different situation in the third period like we talked. But it just once again goes to show you the difference of playing a full 60 minutes. Not saying the Hawks are shoe-in winners if they play a full 60 minutes against this team, but probably a much different score and a much different game we're talking about. But good things to pull from Bedard's game, good things to pull from the power play. And Nikita Zaitsev returns too after dealing with quite a bit of time on injured reserve. I know he was happy to get back. Let's hear from the Blackhawks defenseman.
Well, I was pretty good, like physically, but my head was a little bit out of the game conditions in the first period, so I felt pretty much better in the second and the third, so overall it was pretty good.
Is that the toughest part, just kind of getting game speed back?
Yeah, I think it's the hardest because you're not really skating and not really practicing with the team. I just got a couple of practices, so it doesn't really help, so game is the game. So.
Did it make it extra difficult that Washington was really pushing so hard there in the first period?
No, I think so, yeah, but every game is like that, especially on the road. Every team trying to push in the first, score the goals and stuff like that.
How did you feel, I guess, by the end of the game? Did you feel fully?
Felt fully, like the same. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Nikita Zaitsev returning for the first time since January after dealing with a fracture in his leg on injured reserve. We've got more to get to. We're going to hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, after this 4-1 loss to the Washington Capitals. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Head to Jason Dickinson to center ice on the right wing, and he'll backhand it across to the left wing corner, Capital Zone. Blackwell there to Anderson. Put it out in front, and Dickinson fires. All, and Lindgren had to scramble, but somehow got a piece of his equipment on this shot, and it deflects up into the protective netting. What a terrific save by Lindgren.
Some really good saves by the Washington Capitals goaltender Charlie Lindgren tonight. 29 of them, to be exact. But no shutout as the Hawks were able to spoil it with 10-11 left in regulation. However, this one does go to the Caps. 4-1 the final from Washington. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show. And we'd like to hear from you, 312-981-7200. You just heard the save of the game, which is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Just quickly reading some of the quotes from the postgame comments, and the head coach, Luke Richardson, saying that he didn't think the team was mentally or physically early on in the game, and that clearly showed with the Hawks coughing up 3 goals in the first period. Let's hear all of those comments from the Blackhawks head coach after tonight's 4-1 loss.
No, I didn't think we were really like physically and mentally into that game early, and it showed, and we got behind. I think at the end of the period, we picked our game up, and we created a power play opportunity, and that had some definitely had some life, and that gave us a little bit of life. But I thought, you know, just the one break in the second period, we can't turn pucks over in the neutral zone like that. We needed a change, even if it's icing. We got to get that puck through the neutral zone, and that fourth goal really hurt. But again, you know, we tried to push in the third period, was probably our best, but it's a 4-0 lead, so the other team plays differently. And you know, I thought we created a couple power play situations. Unfortunately, we got 4 goals on it last game, and we did some really good things. We just couldn't get it by Charlie Lindgren tonight.
What does work well for the power play that you carried over? It seemed like there was movement.
Well, the just the entry has speed. It's really hard to defend. You know, with the best skilled players in the other team coming with speed, and I think that's what we've been kind of lacking a little bit over the course of the year. So we're finally had some repetition now with the same guys on the unit for a while, and I think they really worked at it. And that gets us more ozone time. And, you know, they're creative, and they created some good opportunities tonight. Unfortunately, we were just off the mark on a few shots. But, you know, I like the way they at least bring us some energy for the next shift, because we're creating some offense.
That was about as aggressive as we've seen Bedard in terms of shooting. Is that what you've been prodding him to do more?
Yeah, and even that one-timer that was blocked, I think he's got to throw some of those in there. So they have to honor that, because, you know, he's so good at receiving a puck and kind of a head bob and a fake and getting on the inside and good wrist shots, which he just missed on a few tonight. But I think he's got to, you know, hold them accountable in the PK and to front those one-timer shots. And eventually him, he's going to read those and create opportunities behind it. If someone gets in front of him and gets down, especially, it's hard to get up and react after that. So, you know, I liked his, you know, his shot selection tonight. Unfortunately, one hit the post and a couple just missed.
That challenge in the first period, were you confident that it would get overturned? Or was it
The longer they were looking at it, I was getting a second guess of myself. But you know what, our guys, you know, they're great. You know, both Matt and Adam in the back, I don't know if they've missed one. I think I challenged one over them once last year and I lost. So I go on their judgment for sure.
With the line changes, it seems like that there have been a few issues with that, and there was the too many men in addition to the goal tonight. Is there something to work out communication-wise?
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, I mean, we got to be careful in the neutral zone with pucks, and we're trying to change, especially second period, and it happened. You know, I think Korchinski just jumped a little too premature there for Tenorti to turn back. He wasn't even on his way to the bench, and sometimes you take your eye off the guy coming, you think he's coming, you have to really pay attention and watch for sure, but... and then on the goal, yeah, we're trying to change. I think you gotta get that puck in somehow. And if you can't, you maybe flip it in the bench and get a change or something. Or we'll take an icing over that. So those are just managing the puck. You know, in certain times, like you gotta take care of everybody on the ice.
Did Zaitsev appear to kind of get his sea legs as the game wore on? It felt like he was stronger in the third period.
Well, absolutely, I think even the second period much stronger. The first, you know, he's been out for a while. He's only had a couple of full team practices, and he's a physical guy. He plays physical, and sometimes your timing and your angles a little bit off. And I thought he really adjusted well. Unfortunately, they were on for one goal there in the first, where you know, they could have been a little stronger in the box outs, but still fine in his game. And I thought he played excellent the rest of the way, and even adds his offense. Like we really like his shot. He had a great shot in the third, so we're going to definitely promote that.
Luke Richardson, after this 4-1 loss to the Washington Capitals. Again, the Hawks dropped to 16-43-5 with the loss. Washington improves to 30-23-9. We've got one more break to get to. When we come back, a whole bunch going on in the NHL tonight. 13 games total throughout the league. A few of them were final before this Hawks game even started. A lot of good playoff races going on, and we all also have to dive into a few of the Hawks' prospects with Rockford playing tonight. Big Ten hockey action with that tournament going on. So all of that and more as we'll take a look around the league, the Hawks organization, and more as we close out the Blackhawks postgame show. 720 WGN.
He goes down along the near board, sends it back on his own net, played by Lyon. Then Gostisbehere gets the puck back, sends it on the backhand, high in the air, knocked down by McBain. Left circle, Carconi in front to O'Brien, just missed the net. Reba, McBain scores! What a great whirl-around pass by Michael Carconi to O'Brien in front. He missed the net, but the rebound came right to Jack McBain.
We're closing out the Blackhawks postgame show. A 4-1 loss to the Washington Capitals, but the Hawks are right back at it tomorrow night as they host the Arizona Coyotes. That was our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. And that was Bob Heathouse, radio voice of the Arizona Coyotes of KMVP. After Arizona bounced back from their loss to the Hawks with a 4-0 shutout over the Detroit Red Wings yesterday. Detroit trying to change their luck. They're in Vegas tonight trying to end a four-game skid. We'll take a look around the NHL, but first I want to get to a couple of key factors in the Blackhawks organization. Right now, Rockford with a 4-1 lead over the Chicago Wolves down in the AHL, time winding down in the third period. Lucas Reichel did pick up an assist in that game so far. He's a +2 so far tonight, so that makes 6 assists for Lucas Reichel in his 7 games since being sent back down to Rockford. We heard from Luke Richardson. We heard from Kyle Davidson all 2 days ago. Or no, yesterday. Wow. Trade deadline day about Reichel's progression down there. It basically seems like everything is going at least all right, if not better than all right. His attitude is great. He's helping score goals, but they do just want to see him shoot the puck a little bit more and hopefully find that goal-scoring action that was so natural to him last year. In the Big Ten tournament, a lot of big hockey going on over there and a lot of good Blackhawks prospects throughout a lot of those systems. Oliver Moore picked up an assist tonight. He was the number 19 overall pick by the Hawks in this last draft. A 3-2 winner for the Golden Gophers over Penn State. Oliver Moore with an assist in that game, and Sam Rinzell with no points, but he was a +2. The Michigan Wolverines ending the Notre Dame Fighting Irish's season, a 4-3 victory for Michigan. I'm just quickly going down the score sheet. Frank Nazar did pick up an assist. Landon Slaggart with a goal and an assist. Both those guys in the Blackhawks organization. Slaggart, a senior, his season now over. We could possibly see him with the Blackhawks this year. Either way, he'll almost more than definitely sign pro. Could see him in Rockford. Could see him up with the Hawks. Could see a little mixture of both. Who knows? Let's take a look around the league. Once again, 13 games in the NHL tonight. A handful of them were already figured out before heading into this one, but one that's pretty relevant and prevalent for you is the San Jose Sharks, the team that's tied with the Hawks at the basement of the NHL standings, but not anymore.
Granlund behind the net. 25 seconds to go in the Sharks' power play. To Eklund in the right wing corner. Back to Granlund behind the goal. He's got Zetterlund near side, but goes to the middle. Here comes the shot. Score! Thomas Bortolo, a one-time shot. The pass from behind the net by Granlund. And a good celebration for the young Thomas Bortolo as he picks up his second goal of the game and fourth of the year. It puts the Sharks in front 2-1. And yes, it's a power play goal.
Dan Rusinowski, voice of the San Jose Sharks, as the Sharks take down the Ottawa Senators 2-1 tonight. So the Sharks now move 2 points ahead of the Blackhawks at the bottom of the NHL standings, and the Hawks have already played one more game than the San Jose Sharks. This one's probably going to come down to the wire, though. Both the Hawks and Sharks have 2 games against each other. They're both within the same week, and 18 games left for the Hawks in the regular season, 17 left for the San Jose Sharks, but we will be keeping an eye on that throughout the entire year because obviously draft lottery odds play into effect with it. Let's move on and we go to Buffalo.
All right, Alex Tuck trying to get another one here for Buffalo in the shootout. Scores! RNH against UPL in the shootout. Lukanen in the crouch. Nugent Hopkins. Lukanen with the save and the Sabres win it. This time for good.
Dan Dunleavy of MSG Network, as the Sabres end a 3-game losing skid with that 3-2 shootout victory over the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid held off the point, or rather the scoreboard, so that ends a point streak at 13 straight games for him. Let's go to Columbus.
Here's a pass ahead of Angelista into the offensive zone.
He scores! What a shot! Evangelista bar down, and the Predators take the
Nashville Predators TV on the call as they pick up a 2-1 victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets, extending their point streak to 11 straight games. Daniil Tarasov with 34 saves for the Jackets in that one, but not enough as they, again, fall to Nashville 2-1. Let's go to Joisey.
Here's Foss, gives it cross ice. Now Pesci with a shot that's blocked by Nemitz. Overpassing those Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, and you know what Nemitz did?
Oh, and then they score. Oh, my, out of the corner. It's Kotkaniemi with a long-range shot that gives Carolina a 2-1 lead.
It's been some rough days for the Devils and their fans. Matt Laughlin of WFAN, the Devils Radio Network. New Jersey's now lost four out of their last five, a 4-2 victory for the Carolina Hurricanes in this one. Carolina scored three third-period goals to beat the Devils. Let's go to Boston.
DeBrusk wrapped it to the far corner. Up top, Pastrnak. Here it comes. He scores! That's his 40th of the season. A blast by the blocker. 1-0 Bruins.
Our guy Judd Surratt, 98.5, the Sports Hub. As Boston's now won four out of their last six games, as Judd said, Pastrnak's 40th goal of the season. Pavel Zacha had 3 points in that game as Boston beats Pittsburgh 5-1. So the Penguins' struggles continue in their pursuit of the playoffs. Let's go to Florida.
Ekman Larson finds it again. Forsling, Tarasenko, right circle shot, and he scores! Vladimir Tarasenko, his second of the game out of the right circle, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead.
Yeah, Tarasenko with quite the debut for the Panthers. 2 goals, 3 points total, as Doug Plagans of WQAM told us, as the Florida Panthers take down the Calgary Flames 5-1 down in the Sunshine State. Let's go to Montreal.
By Tavares, striding into the Montreal zone with Domi, rink wide, McKee, bouncing in! John Tavares on the doorstep, and the Leafs regain the lead.
Former Blackhawk Max Domi picking up a goal in that game as well. His 8th of the season, a 3-2 victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. That call courtesy of Joe Bowen of Sportsnet. First matchup between those two Canadian Original Six teams since opening night. Kind of surprising it took that long for another rematch. Let's go back over to Florida and Tampa Bay.
Kucherov cuts down the right side, finds the right man in the slot. Scores!
Dave Randorf of Bally Sports Sun. Boy, things got crazy down in Tampa. The Lightning jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the first 10 minutes of the game. John Tortorella, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, got kicked out of the game, a game misconduct, but he refused to leave the bench. I'm sure you've seen that social media clip by now. It's been floating around. You can see some choice words off the lips of Torts. It ended up being a 7-0 victory for the Lightning over the Flyers. They scored the touchdown and kicked the extra point. Anthony Duclair, who they just acquired from the San Jose Sharks, scoring his 17th goal of the season in that one, and former Blackhawk Brandon Hagel, his 23rd goal of the year. Let's go to Madison Square Garden.
Fox moving, feeds Panarin. He's got some room, fires.
Sam Rosen of MSG Network, the Rangers stay hot. They've now picked up points in 15 out of their last 18 games. 4-0 shutout over the St. Louis Blues from the world's most famous arena, and they also avoid the season series sweep against the Blues. The only other games going on right now, the Vegas Golden Knights do have a 1-0 lead over Detroit. Again, Vegas on a 4-game skid. So are the Wings. Detroit's been outscored 20-5 during that 4-game skid. Vegas also with just 2 wins over their last 11 games, but boy, were they busy at the deadline acquiring Tomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, and Anthony Mantha. Only other game later on tonight, the LA Kings with a 4-game point streak, hosting the Dallas Stars, who lead the Central Division. Big game for the Stars. They're only 2 points ahead of Winnipeg and Colorado. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help we had here at the WGN Radio Studios, our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Jack Heinrich. They were led by our engineer, the captain, the tireless Krista Flores. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call out at the Capital One Arena. Once again, the final score, 4-1 Washington over the Hawks. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Ron Brown has your news next. After that, it's Steve and Johnny. Have a great rest of your Saturday night. We will talk to you tomorrow when the Hawks are back home hosting the Arizona Coyotes.